I have a praise report. We have had a bed frame and a queen size box spring at the faith shelter. And Pastor Marjorie was praying that God would send her a queen mattress. A couple of days later, maybe two, I get a phone call. And the phone call is from a lady. She says, I have a problem. I just 2 weeks ago bought a queen size mattress and I paid $2,400 for it. And I'm having an allergic reaction, but my husband isn't. And my insurance company is going to reimburse me if I give it away. I think she posted something on Facebook that she was looking to give it away, and I think Eugenia saw it and told her about the shelter. And she said, this is after my own heart. I don't want to give it to anybody else. I want you guys to have it. And within a week from my wife praying that we needed this mattress, it had been delivered and set up. Don't think God's not good. God is really good. You've got to have some expectations. I'm going to tell you right now, when Marjorie prayed for that mattress, she had full expectation that God was going to deliver that mattress. She didn't know where it was going to come from. She didn't know how it was going to come. But I promise you, I've been around her enough to know she believed it was coming. And it came just like that, but not just a cheap old mattress. I didn't spend $2,400 on my mattress. All right. We're talking about a time to tear, and we're breaking that down into false identity. And if you missed the first part of false identity, it was last week. You can go back on YouTube and get it. You can get a CD from the back if you want to get caught up in what we're saying. But tonight we're going to shift direction a little bit as we talk about false identity. But I want you to know that false identity is an epidemic in the United States. I have a colleague a few months ago that he wrote a check to somebody, insurance company, utility company, I don't know who, but he put the envelope in the mailbox. Somebody stole the envelope, got the check out of the envelope, and then had the name of his bank and his account number. Then they found his phone number, well, it's probably on the check too, called him up and said, hey, we're this and such bank, and this is your account number, and there's some fraud on your account, and we want to get this stopped. Can you verify your PIN number? He verified his PIN number. They stole $30,000 out of his account. He was distraught. He was devastated. He went to the bank, and the bank says, we can't give you your money back because you voluntarily gave them your PIN number. You got to be careful who you talk to. Listen, little public service announcement. If your bank calls you, hang up the phone, tell them I'll be right there, and go into the office. Do not talk to your bank over the phone. Your bank will never ask you questions about your account number or PIN number over the phone. I have another colleague who had his identity stolen, and the guy who stole his identity got his license suspended. So now he doesn't have a license. The identity was stolen in New Jersey, and he hasn't been able to figure out how to get his license back. He hasn't driven in 3 years. Stolen identity. My bank called me, and they said, there's somebody sitting at our desk wanting to close out one of your CDs. They got your identification, but we don't think it's you. I said, no, that ain't me. But their stolen identity, it's running rampant. But that ain't nothing compared to the stolen identity that's going on in the church. Whose identity have you stolen? Because see, the price you're going to pay is greater than the price those other people are going to pay. Because if God hates one thing, if he hates one thing, it's discourse among the brethren. I detest that, he says. And you steal identities. How do you steal identities? Because you go tell somebody something about somebody that's negative, and they come in having a bad outlook on him. I had that problem with Jeremy. Somebody came in, some people that I trusted, and they tried to tell me about this Jeremy guy. And then Jeremy shows up, and I'm watching him. And I'm like, I got the wrong thoughts about Jeremy. I'll walk through hell with Jeremy, I'll tell you that right now. That's a good man. But I could have so easily held something against him that shouldn't have been held against him because of what somebody else had to say. Somebody tried to steal his identity. I've seen it happen so many times in the church where somebody will come in brand new and already have a dislike to somebody else, and they've never even talked to that person. No, somebody ran their mouth and stole their identity. We have to be careful what we say. Just because somebody's upset you doesn't make them a bad person. Just because you think they're a bad person doesn't make them a bad person. You just have an issue to work out. Stop stealing identities by involving other people in your situation. Go fix it yourself.
This season of the soul is a little different than the others. In this season, God has required us to do something for him. This season will require that you completely be transparent and honest with yourself. And yes, I said yourself. God has never directed me to a specific thing in any of the seasons. However, this season has a very large plot twist. We're now entering the season of tearing, Ecclesiastes 3:7a.
A time to tear apart. In the original language, the word translated as tear means to separate abruptly or violently, to rip, cut, tear to pieces. There's some things in your life that you got to cut out if you expect to further in the kingdom of God. Why do people go to church and never change? Because they refuse to make the adjustment. See, if you're going to be a Christian on the walk of faith, it's going to require you to make adjustments in your life. Well, I don't care who you are. I don't care how close your walk is with the Lord. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. You still got adjustments to make. Because as soon as you make some adjustments, God's going to show you some more adjustments that you have to make. You're never going to reach perfection on this side of eternity. But God's preparing you for that side of eternity. Mm-hmm. But there's some stuff you got to cut out. There's some stuff you got to rip apart. Your mouth being one of the greatest one of those things. Because it causes disturbance in the kingdom.
We have heard what the original language translates tearing to be, but we tend to think tear, or some would like to say it's to divide something, to remove something, or to separate something. And while these are correct, tear apart in the Bible represents
both outward expressions of emotion and profound spiritual realities, highlighting themes of grief, repentance, divine intervention, and the consequences of sin and division.
Even Satan goes through a season of tearing things apart. He lives for every second he can tear into your life and destroy you and everything you love. The Bible states that Satan departed from Jesus until the opportune time. he also departs from you till the opportune time. And believe me, he's watching and he's waiting for that opportune time. And that opportune time catches us right here. Every time. The tongue is the power of life and death. Be careful. Be careful. Because what you speak out against someone else is coming back to you. You will reap what you sow. You will stand in judgment for what you say. Make sure it's worth it before you do it. This signifies that Satan's departure was temporary, and he planned to return to tempt Jesus when the circumstances were more favorable.
Luke 4:13. The devil had no more temptations to offer that day, so he left Jesus, preparing to return at some other opportune time. I'm always thankful for times of grace in the church. Nothing's going on. It's a beautiful thing. But I've been at this long enough to know something's coming. It's coming. Because the devil's not done with us just yet. Yes, we get some reprieves. I get reprieves where there's peace and love in the church and there's no animosity and there's nobody fighting. And then it rears its ugly head up.
Yep.
And then I go in containment mode. I'm trying to contain it to a special place. But no, it wants to explode on me. It wants to get all over the place. It wants to get on everybody. You got to tell your friends how you mistreated you are. You got to tell your friends. All you're doing is cursing yourself. Only one person you need to talk to, and that's the person you're having the issue with. Not your friend. You don't need your counseling from your friend. You need to go deal with the problem. The faster you deal with it, quicker you're going to take care of it.
Back up a step. Before you go talk to the person, you better talk to the man.
That's right.
And then go talk to the person. Because if you go on your own will and you allow that false identity that everybody else has already depicted the person, or you yourself has created the identity of the person because they may have stepped on your last nerve, or they may have said something that you didn't like, so now you think that they're the worst thing ever walked on earth. But before you go in your own spirit, your own will, you better make sure you got God with you.
Many times I've seen people go to God with their issues with someone, and when they were finished, they no longer had the issue.
That's true. Absolutely true. If Satan planned to tempt Jesus again, what makes you think he's one and done with you? Remember that I said God is asking something specific for this season. He is asking for us to tear out our false identity. Notice I said our false identity. If you don't have a false identity, you walking on the other side of the grass, man, you already in heaven. Because you somehow, some way, somewhere have perceived a false identity. He just said someone of respect caused him to have a false identity to someone else. Did
easy.
He not just say that?
Easy to fall into that situation. It's so easy. Your best friend's not going to lie to you. My pastors aren't going to lie to me. Yes, they will.
Yeah, they will.
Because let me tell you a little secret. You are Satan's pawn. He's going to use you in the chess game at some point. At some point, he's going to get to you. At some point, you're going to have a weak moment, and next thing you know, you're in the chess game.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you may be thinking this is a free season for me, and I have nothing to get rid of, or this will be a breeze, then you, my friend, are the one that God is talking to. This season will be tearing out our false identity. False identity is
when someone pretends to be someone else using fabricated or stolen information to create a different persona. I have told some of you about a piece of artwork I have in my house as an art collector, but it's a lady with a mask, and the mask has come down. That reminds me that when I meet you, I don't meet you, I meet your representative. I meet the person that you want me to think that you are. And I'm not going to really know who you are until your world shatters. Till the wind blows and you're knocked around and you've got to go through something. And that's when I'm going to find out what you really believe. I'm going to find out who you really are. But you have to be shaken before I'm going to really find out. Because you can hold that persona for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I always tell you this. You don't listen to me, but I'm going to tell you again. If God doesn't tell me, the devil will.
Well, don't we know that's truth?
So you can go to work and swear like a sailor. Why do they say sailors swear? That ain't right.
You ever been on a ship with a bunch of men out in the middle of the ocean? I had an uncle that was a sailor.
Acting one way in church and going to work and acting another way, and you think I don't know. Somebody's going to tell me. I guarantee somebody is going to tell me.
Social media is good for that.
So, the last thing I want as a representative of Christ is to have a false persona. I want to be who I am in Christ as a witness to you. That means I can't afford to come in and out of character because somebody's going to see it, somebody's going to react to it, somebody's going to tell you. And I'm not going to grow if I do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll always be stagnant and stuck right in a place where I don't want to be. My greatest desire of a pastor is to try to get you to understand what's waiting for you. Because it's hard to see when you're in that situation, when you're in that circumstance. You can't see it, but I've lived it. And God has so much more for you. You may never get what I have, but what God has for you is phenomenal. And he's trying to get you in position to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things he cannot give you until you find yourself in the proper position. Look what happened to Jesus when he was baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Until you're baptized, that's not going to happen to you. You have to be in position. The Holy Spirit landed on him. Heaven was opened.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? There are things in heaven that without baptism, you don't have access to. Through obedience, through faithfulness, through belief, you can have access to things you don't have access to if you haven't followed the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Man didn't make the plan, God did. So don't discount it, because God has more for you. God has more for me. All I got to do is get in line. Straighten up. But I know he's got more for me. And I haven't even scratched the surface. And I want you to believe that he has more for you. You just have to dig deep and hold on. Can't let go.
Mm-hmm.
We've become a society of quitters. Don't believe me? Look at the divorce rate. We're quitters. I have had the same job since I was 18 years old. I don't quit. Why did God entrust me to this church? I don't quit. You name it in my life, and you're going to look at it, and you're going to see that I don't quit. Faithfulness brings success. When you become faithful to something, then you become successful to something.
This can involve using a false name, talking about the false persona. The Bible doesn't directly address hiding your name as a general concept, but it does address the idea of revealing and concealing things, particularly to relations, to one's identity and actions before God. When people start getting false identities or misrepresentations or mistaken identities, is usually in the little groups. Come on, everybody, shake your head. That you do at your house when there's not somebody of authority there. Because one person says, well, did you see how Pastor Linda treated me today? Oh, yeah, man, she ain't nice. She's ugly. She's the... Am I lying? It all starts one person to say one thing wrong, and everybody in the room jumps the wagon, and now the person is... You have totally killed anything that person could have ever been or done until God rectifies the situation.
And you think you're hurting that person, but you're hurting the people you're with, because you're shutting them off from a blessing that God has through Linda to them or whoever it is. Mm-hmm. Remember that you're only fed with negative thoughts to remove the blessing. And Satan will use you to remove somebody else's blessing by getting them to agree.
Thus being the pawn you just talked about in life.
Thus being the pawn.
I want to bring up a story of a man who hid his identity. You may remember him by his Greek name, Rock. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Some scholars refer to him as the Rock. His name is Simon Peter. Now, if Peter, who was walking with Jesus, can put on a false identity, what makes you think you don't? Peter walked right next to God. I mean, Jesus. He was one of the disciples, walked right next to him. And denied him, not once, but three times. Yeah. False identity. Are you talking about me? I don't know that person. False identity. What makes you think you're better than Peter? You ain't. Or you're not. Excuse me. Improper English. Correct English. You're not.
I want to say this to you. Because we tend to use our own definitions for things and not God's definition. And God says, you're for me or you're against me.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. There's no agnostic. Agnostic is a term that the world came up with that you're not sure if God exists or not. But God said, if you're not with me, you're against me. There's no middle ground. We have all, listen to me carefully, we have all denied Christ in our life.
Yes. More ways than one.
When you're at the party and you're listening to the stories and you go along with it, even if you know it's not right, you've denied Christ.
Yep.
When you do something that you know you shouldn't be doing, you're denying Christ. Where you're involved in some kind of situation where you're trying to get over on somebody or some company or something, you're denying Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to a point in my life that if you don't want to know the truth, stay away from me.
Well,
that's your choice. But you know what's going to happen if you come to me. And I told you the story recently about the person buying Halloween stuff and decided to tell me about it. And my reply was, that's evil. That is evil. Now, I could have kept my mouth shut. But that's denying Christ. God didn't ask me to deny him. He asked me to proclaim him. That's evil. How many of us will go to a Halloween party? And it's coming. It's in the stores already. And not realize they're denying Christ. See? A lot of times it's out of ignorance. That's why I tell people all the time, if you're not willing to change, don't come here. Because once you're now responsible for what you know. God says, oh, you know the truth now. I expect you to live that truth.
I want to bring something in into a little bit more of a of a better perspective using you and me. For years, and they laugh about when I first met Bishop, I went to Pastor Marjorie and I said, he even yells at me in my dream. Did I not? He even yells at me in my dreams. And she said, no, that's not him. That's you're just, no, it's okay. It's going to be okay. So for years, now we all laugh about it, but for years I went around saying, he yells at me. He yells at me. He yells at me. And it took one person in the congregation to say, he's really mean at you. He really yells at you all the time. And I said, no, he's not. He corrects me. But because of what I was saying, everybody perceived him to yell at me. He corrects me. Do I like to be corrected? No. Do I perceive it as being yelled at? Yes. Am I right?
I can yell at her by whispering.
It's good. Really good. But just in a lighter measure and trying to get it to be where you really see what's going on, what you say about people, whether to one person or to 20, make sure it's godly and the right thing. Because whatever you say will damage their character, and then God cannot use them to bless the person that they were supposed to bless. Just saying, right?
Correct.
I don't want to go on to the next. It's 53.
All right. Father, we are grateful for the time we've had together today. Grateful for your word. Grateful, God, that you've given us something to think about, to apply, to change. God, we want to be godly. We want to do the right thing. We don't want to deny you. Not once, not twice, not three times. We want people to know where we stand, irregardless of the consequence, because the consequence is far greater on the other side. So we thank you, Father, for helping us. We ask for forgiveness anytime we've ever denied you in any small way, God. And we're grateful, God, that you are a God of forgiveness and grace. And you give us a clean slate each and every day that we ask for the clean slate.
Right.
So we ask for clean slates tonight, God, that you erase everything that we have said or done that is not godly, that you will use your eraser, God, that erases it forever. And we get a chance to start over. Help us to start over tonight, God. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.